Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. You can find out more about literary and other activities at allbook-books.com. This topic may turn into more than one episode because it's a vast topic and I think critical. And I even questioned whether I wanted to talk about it because it's touchy. But then I realized I have to talk about it because hardly anybody ever talks about it. And that's an issue. If I had to sum it up, I would say there's something called sacred sexuality as compared with, if I had to sum it up, commodification and rote. The rote dating scene and all the other manifestations of sex. Now, part of the news when I look at, to kind of backtrack, the recent news is just disgustingly filled with cases of pedophilia, the Boy Scouts, the church, rape, emotional abuse. This gets into the Me Too movement, missing and murdered indigenous women, another movement, the boarding schools, the Native people's enforced boarding schools in Canada and the U.S., all of them involved in abuse of other people's bodies and sexuality. Now, I add to that, and these are some of these bits I put in my recent book because some sections of the book address the overall topic of, let's call it, sacred sexuality. And here are some stat headlines. 1 in 3 women worldwide experience physical sexual abuse. Someone is sexually assaulted every 73 seconds in the United States. Pedophile priests operated at this California school for decades. This is the Catholic order that covered up their abuse. German nuns rented orphaned boys to businessmen for gangbangs and orgies. Suppressed report seen by media. It wasn't until 1987 when homosexuality was no longer considered a mental illness in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. So there's a huge history, just enormous amounts of bonkersness related to the simple topic of sexuality, to which I think that people are brought up to think that their satisfaction and their pleasure is dependent on another human being, and at whatever cost, whether it's dating, marriage, or to the extremes I mentioned, pedophilia, rape, that urge must be satisfied. And so this has led to a lot of trouble. So that's why I like to flip the perspective to say that there's a whole way to look at the sexual topic from a spiritual angle, from a spiritual angle, from a holistic angle, from a make your own self content and happy in some way so that your physical urges are not dependent on or have to require the forced usage of another physical being. And because so much of the world is based on, finding the right person, which has its place, but I wrote in my book, what if you chased someone with heartfelt love and purpose rather than lust? What if you chased yourself with the same passion and intensity? Then might what you find? What if you chased what your true self is doing here with Mother Earth? You must have come through your mother's gateway womb in a physical form for some purpose. So I've heard it said from Native cultures that you can tell a culture by the way they treat their women is how they treat the Mother Earth. So there's a correlation to ponder. 3 books I want to highlight, and I did research of these for my book. The first one is called Sex and God, How Religion Distorts Sexuality. It's by Darryl Ray, IPC Press. In essence, he gets into the, pardon the verbiage, the mind fuck or the head trip that religions play on people's so that, sex becomes, a guilt, like a lot of people report, like, Jesus was watching, so they couldn't do anything, and all kinds of stuff like that. So, But basically, it's the sexuality has like a certain, the religion has a certain sort of programming or prescription for how sex should be. Even from what I remember historically, like marriage and monogamy is actually a relatively new thing. But across the world, in different cultures, in different traditions, there's a history of sacredness for both the female and the male. And so there's two other books. One is called The Yoni, Sacred Symbol of Female Creative Power. That's by Rufus C. Kamphausen, by Inner Traditions. And what I would call a companion book, The Phallus, Sacred Symbol of Male Creative Power, by Alain, A-L-A-I-N, Danielu. You might read stuff that you've never seen or never heard of before. Few things to mention about the phallus. There is a section on the god of vegetation and fertility. In the Mediterranean tradition, the god Fascinus, F-A-S-C-I-N-U-S, germinates plants. And so there was a sort of a fertility god thing connected to the phallus and agriculture or vegetation. And then the Hindu texts, this one goes back to the Shiva Purana. The sexual organ therefore has a double role, the inferior one of procreation and the superior one of contacting the divine state by means of the ecstasy caused by pleasure, ananda. The orgasm is a divine sensation. So whereas paternity attaches man to the things of the earth, the ecstasy of pleasure can reveal divine reality to him, leading him to detachment and spiritual realization. Phallus is the source of pleasure. It is the sole means of obtaining earthly pleasures and salvation. By looking at it, touching it, and meditating on it, living beings are capable of freeing themselves from the cycle of future lives. That's a quote from an ancient Hindu text. And in ancient Egypt, the sun god Re Atum Khepri manufactured all of creation by masturbating. So this is just a glimpse as to what I'm saying about how worldwide traditions and cultures have way different view of sexuality that I think humanity has lost touch with, hence the quotes I mentioned at the beginning of this little bit here. And another fascinating thing, a couple of fascinating things in the book about the yoni is that it cites an ancient Arabic culture books or texts that, now we think of modern Arabic culture, we think of very extremely repressive of the feminine and extremely patriarchal. So one of the things is that Allah, when the religion was created, Allah was actually it was like manufactured. There was a female deity. This is what I put in my book. Muhammad invented the story of a male Allah with three daughters, when before that there was a reference to a female deity and three phases of the moon, waxing, full, and waning, corresponding to the cycles and characteristics of a woman's life, the latter as wise crone. In this pre-Islamic Arabian goddess, various names are Alat, Alatu, Alilalat, whatever the name. The point is that there was, before the religious patriarchy, there was a pre-Islamic connection to the moon and the earth and the cycles of the seasons and the cosmos that was related to the feminine energy and sexuality, and that got turned into a male worshiping story of a man with three daughters. So that's one example. And the other example is a cited text. One is an erotic manual, The Perfumed Garden, in which there are descriptions for both the yoni 38 types and the lingam, which is the male phallus, 35 types. Now this is like there are, you know, one size does not fit all. It gives descriptions and characteristics and energies of both the male and the female genitalia. So these people must have known something. And I think all of this information, and you can see it in artwork and in literature and in ancient texts, and even in many of the indigenous cultures have references to total respect or reverence for those who were what we now call like gender benders, and that they had like power, they had powers to actually sort of psychic powers to see things from another, from other worlds, almost like a shaman, because their energies were not devoted to having a family and raising kids. So where did they put all their energies to help the community? So, you know, around the world, there's all these cultures with a variety of just a variety of information. And the other thing that the mention of the yonis, the different types of yoni and lingam, it made me think, well, hey, there's so much relationship incompatibility, and here's this ancient Arabic text describing literal physical shapes and sizes and such. Now that might be a key to finding, you know, the proper mate as to who is, you know, compatible. So I don't know, but that's just an idea that came to mind. So all these books open up a whole nother way of looking at things, and it's in stark contrast with the way sexuality is portrayed in the Western world as entertainment, as through marketing and tabloids, and it's all a tease. It's all a come on and you know, a hint of this, a hint of that. But where's the truth that's beyond all this tease? Like, what is really going on with the energies that we carry, which are some of the most powerful energies, because they have the ability to bring a spiritual being into the physical world. So that's where I think that the sexuality demands to be respected as sacred, because it is literally a connector to the spiritual world. And what's going on now, a whole nother topic, is the population, which in many ways, overpopulation requires more resources, which again circles back to more resources is more destruction of the earth. And so how we treat the earth connected to how we treat women and the feminine, and how we respect ourselves, and how we approach this vast topic of sexuality. So thanks for listening to this one, and be well.